If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 1. Follow along as I read, please, at verse 1. Matthew 1 and verse 1. The record of the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah was the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez was the father of Hezron, and Hezron the father of Ram. Ram was the father of Amminadab, and Amminadab the father of Nashon, and Nashon the father of Salmon. Salmon was the father of Boaz by Rahab. Boaz was the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed the father of Jesse. Now let's stop there and pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to gather here and celebrate the gift of your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus, to worship as brothers and sisters in Christ, to gather around your word and be reminded again of all that you put together to bring about that special day when Jesus was born. Thank you for your grace, for your mercy, for your love. Quiet our hearts here in this place, and through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, help us to see clearly what is here. Take note of what we need for today, and file away what we may need for tomorrow. Your word is the foundation of our life. Take your word, your servant, and teach us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We are looking at, as verse 1 says, the record of the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Matthew is written specifically for Jewish believers. So he only has to go back to Abraham. But he makes the connection to the son of David. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. Now in this list that we read for this morning, through verse 5, there aren't many names that we recognize. But there are four that I want to focus on. So far, and through the rest of this genealogy, we might have written it, Judah was the father of Perez, Perez the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Amminadab, Amminadab the father of Nashon, Nashon the father of Solomon, Solomon was the father of Boaz, Boaz was the father of Obed, and Obed the father of Jesse. But in this list, there are three women. Matthew will do this one more time to emphasize the women involved in this list. I think you know where the fourth one is, don't you? But these three maybe surprise you. And their story helps us to understand a little bit better all that God brought together and his purpose in bringing together those who would form the lineage to Jesus, his son, our Savior. Notice, verse 3 says, Judah was the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Now, remember, this is written for Jewish readers. So the first time Matthew does this, Judah was the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar, a story would pop up in the minds of those who knew their Bibles, specifically the books of Moses, the law, Genesis, the story of their beginnings. Judah was one of Jacob's 12 sons. He was one of those that would form the foundation for the nation of Israel. Jacob was also involved in selling his brother Joseph to Egypt. In fact, that happened just before the story I'm about to tell you. It's in Genesis 38. I'm going to leave some things out. You may want to check it out. Fill in the blanks. But somewhere along the line, Judah married. And Judah had three sons. The oldest son married a Canaanite by the name of Tamar. You say, that seems odd. That son, his oldest son, was such a rascal, sinner, that God doesn't even take the time to tell Moses what he did. He just says, I took him out. Now, there was a tradition. This is before the law. Remember, this is Judah. We haven't gone to Egypt. Moses hasn't come yet. So the law hasn't been codified. But there is tradition. And the tradition was that the next oldest son, unmarried, would marry his brother's widow so that there could be sons that would carry on his name. Well, the second son, apparently, was no better than the first. And God took him out as well. Now, the third son was apparently, we would say, an afterthought today, because he was quite a bit younger. And Judah says to Tamar, remain a widow, in other words, unmarried, remain a widow, and when Shelah, the youngest son, is old enough, I will give him to you. And Tamar did exactly that. Judah's wife dies, and he's in mourning. And in the midst of all of that, Shelah grows up and is a man. Judah goes down to where they were shearing his sheep. And kind of like those of you who enjoy old westerns, kind of like at the end of the cattle drive, cowboys apparently let themselves go. Judah did exactly the same thing. Tamar, his daughter-in-law, knew that. Tamar knew that he had no intention of giving her his youngest son for fear of what God would do. Tamar knew what Judah would be up to. And as much as this might give you a bit of a shiver, there was also a tradition that said that if necessary, the father-in-law could step in. And in this case, that would, because his wife was gone. Judah is a widower. So Tamar says, I'll trick him. And that's exactly what happens. She tricks him. The details are there in Genesis 38. And as a result of that, Perez and Sarah are born twins. And of course, when Judah finds out that Tamar has apparently been unfaithful, he plans to exact judgment upon her. But she, in a very clear way, proves that Judah is the father of these two children. And at the end of the story, Judah says something very interesting. He says in chapter 38 and verse 26, she is more righteous than I. Now again, we look at the traditions and we say, oh, I don't know, widow, widower, father-in-law, kind of creepy. But, all in keeping with the tradition of the day, and Judah has not done what he had promised to do, and he looks at her and he says, you know, I haven't done what was right either. In fact, she's just wanting to honor her husband and produce heirs. Every once in a while, we make very bad, sinful choices. And God chooses to bless us anyway. Judah's three sons by his wife. The first two we know were rascals. Don't know anything more about the third son. So what does God do? God takes this situation here that makes us a little bit uncomfortable and chooses Perez to keep the line going. Now, do not confuse that with condoning. It's just his loving kindness. Remember that word? A little grace, a little mercy, a little love. And nobody does loving kindness like our Heavenly Father. And as soon as a Jew read that line in Matthew's genealogy, Judah was the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar, they would immediately remember that story. God's graciousness and his mercy. Was it the way it could have been, should have been? Nope. Not at all. Not at all. But God took what was and blessed it. Now, I'm not going to go through the rest of verse 3 and verse 4 again. I've tortured you enough to get back. But we go down here to verse 5. And verse 5 says, Solomon was the father of Boaz, and that should ring a little bell for you, by Rahab. Now again, normally in this genealogy, it would have simply read, Solomon was the father of Boaz. But for our Jewish readers, he adds, by Rahab. And yes, that Rahab. When we get to chapter verse 5 here in the history of Israel, we move to your Joshua chapter 2. We're 400 plus years later. Israel has gone to Egypt. They've spent 400 years in slavery. God raised up Moses. Moses brought them, led them up out of Egypt. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Moses died. God selected Joshua. He's leading them. They're on the west bank of the Jordan, ready to go in to the promised land. And Joshua does a very interesting thing. He sends out two spies. He knows the problem when you send out 12. Remember that story. He just sends out two. He says, go to Jericho, see what you see, and come back. And whoever wrote the book of Joshua, and it could have been Joshua, but whoever wrote it, no comment with regards to a lack of faith or why did he send the spies in or anything given the problem that happened the last time. But here they go. And they go in and scout things out. And they stop at a local watering hole run by a gal by the name of Rahab. But while they are there, word goes out that the town officials have learned that there are spies in Jericho. And so the authorities are alert. They're going around trying to find them. And Rahab hides them in the roof. Not on it. Not under it. In it. We're going to talk about that a little bit on Wednesday night. That's kind of an interesting. interesting story. But there they are. The authorities come in, and Rahab says, well, yeah, they were here, but they're not here now. Kind of true, but anyway, they're not here now. And if you hurry, you might be able to catch them. So they leave. She goes up to the roof where she's hidden them. And the spies ask her about the situation there in Jericho. And the first thing she says is, I know the Lord has given you the land. Now, I know she didn't write this, so I'm not real sure of all of the significance, but if you go back to Joshua 2 and read that, she uses the word, the covenant name for God. She says, I know the one true God who is. And again, whether she fully understood what she was saying or not at that point, I don't know. But she says, I know the one God who is has given you this land. And I know that terror has filled the heart of this city. Because we know the history of the last 40 years. Imagine that. No CNN, no Fox News, not even daily papers. But word had traveled. She mentions crossing the Red Sea. She mentions a couple of the major battles they had out in the wilderness. She says, we know about all of that and we are scared of what's about to happen. So she says, would you please bless me and my family? Would you spare us? The spies interpreted all that she had said as a statement of faith. And they said, okay, here's what we'll do. You tie a red cord here in your window, and then we find out that she lived on the wall. The wall around Jericho was so wide, you could build a house on it, or in it, however you want to think of that. And she had a wall, a window, facing the outside, tie a red cord to it, and we will let everybody know. One, touch no one in this place. And two, find them and get them out. If you don't do that, then we are relieved of any responsibility. They go back, they tell Joshua the story, and you know how Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. And in the process, Rahab will say, now, let me ask again, why the spies? Why did he send them? Well, I think, again, Joshua, being one of two of that generation that survived the 40 years wandering in the wilderness, knew that after that recon mission 40 years ago, he and Caleb were excited about going in. It's everything God said it would be. Let's go get it. The other 10, that's what he did. Joshua, the book, Joshua 2, doesn't tell us anything about these two guys. Maybe Joshua knew them, knew their personality, knew their faith. Knowing what they would see when they got in there and came back, maybe he sent them in so that they would come back and encourage Israel to continue to do what God had called them to do. Go into the land and conquer it. I don't know. But that's exactly what they do. They come back and encourage them. That's why he sent the spies. The second reason they sent the spies, I was reminded of this last week, to give Rahab. If they hadn't gone in, if we hadn't had that story and we don't understand all the details of it, read it in Joshua chapter 2, Rahab wouldn't be in this list. One more Gentile woman that God extended his grace and mercy to, who responded by faith, and as a result of that, finds herself in this list. 5 says Boaz was the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed the father of Jesse. Ruth. That ought to spark some memory as well. Remember the story of Ruth? She's not a Jewess either. In fact, she's from the land of Moab. A man from Bethlehem, of all places. As they were going through famine, took his wife and 2 sons down to Moab to find food, to live for a while, to survive the drought and famine. They were there for about 10 years and dad died. The 2 boys married. One of them married Ruth. And shortly thereafter, both boys died. So here's Naomi, away from home, 10 plus years, with 2 daughters at home. She releases them. She says, you don't need it. I gotta go back. There's nothing here for me. I hear the drought has lifted in Judah, and I need to go back, claim my home, and you all can just, death has ended your marriage, and you have no responsibility to me, so go back to your families. One day, Ruth, scripture says, clung to Naomi. And Naomi says, well, look at your sister. She's coming. You go. You go too. And Ruth said, no. 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 Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you go, I go. And Naomi tried again to discourage her, and she said, no. If you're going, I'm going. And the rest of the story of Ruth, it's a love story. It's a love story that reflects God's love for his people. It's a story of redemption. Because God loved Ruth, because God loved his people. Because God is gracious and merciful and loving, he included Ruth in this list. Four more people that we know. Are these other men significant? Absolutely. I just don't know anything more about them. Scripture doesn't mention them. But in this list, we have a great-grandson of Abraham. We have 3 Gentile women. No connection to Israel. Other than their story and their marriage. And God's blessing. So, through these, despite all the intrigue that surrounds them, God is truly going to bless the nations. Remember the promise he gave to Abraham in Genesis 12? He repeated it to Jacob, that scoundrel schemer. He repeated it to him. Through you, through your descendants, I will bless not the nation, your family, your descendants, but the nations. And in Hebrew, no question, the world. God truly is going to bless the nations. So it is true. God so loved the world. World, you, me, Jew, Gentile. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever would believe in him would have eternal life. Is God gracious?
Yes.
Is he merciful? Most certainly. Does he love us? How could he have said it any more clearly? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truthfulness. I pray, Father, that we've handled it accurately. Yes, this is just a list of names, but we went back and looked at the story that we know of some of them. Stories of redemption, of restoration, stories of grace and mercy, stories that illustrate in very real and practical ways your love for us. As we will see again when we visit the stable,